Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. We just want to acknowledge those who have joined us on streaming on the internet. Thank you for being with us this morning, the English speakers and the Spanish speakers. Thank you for being with us. If you have enjoyed what we do here at CCC and you want to participate in that, you can make your contributions. Look at the bottom of your screen, and it'll tell you how to do that. Thank you for joining us. Shalom. How many of you happy to be here today? Amen. Amen. Before I say anything, I would like for us to turn to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 13th verse. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, or in the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body or the flesh, you shall live. For as many as are led by, or more correctly, in the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the Son of Yahweh. This word sons is not necessarily talking about a particular sex of a person. It is really talking about sons and daughters. Sons, there are several words that would describe sons. One is technon, which really talks, the real interpretation of technon is a child, children. But the word used here is weos. And the word weos means the legitimate sons and daughters of Yahweh, those who have special privilege. Technon talks about not having yet developed into a son of Yahweh. We us are those who have. And so it said, they that are led in the Spirit of Yahweh are without question the sons and daughters of Yahweh. It has been on my heart to share this message that we have been doing called Spiritual Guidance, how to operate in the Spirit, how to be led in the Spirit.
But as I was getting this ready, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, how can they accomplish this? He said, it's not possible. Under the conditions and attitude we live under in the church to accomplish this, being led in the spirit of Yahweh. And of course, I was concerned, because I understand that even I have shortcomings. You know what I mean? Amen. And I thought about the scripture where the psalmist said, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall stand in thy holy hill? So what I was really pondering in my heart, who? If it is not possible, who? And he said to me, you can't skip the basics and expect to accomplish the hard stuff. You can't skip the basics and expect to accomplish the hard stuff. For us human beings, it is hard to be led in the spirit. Amen. You know, I don't want to try to pretend like it's easy. And we can teach this until, I started to say we're red in the face, but I better not say that. Until we can't teach it anymore. And yet, under these conditions, it's not possible for you to accomplish being led in the Spirit. And I know there's some of you saying, I know I heard from God. You might have. I'm not saying you haven't heard from God. I'm talking about being led in the Spirit of Yahweh. And this is a daily thing. And a lot of people, because they cannot really hear in the spirit, they receive messages in their mind and think they're led in the spirit. And a lot of mistakes are made. Then they lose their faith because they thought they heard from Yahweh. And they thought they did what Yahweh told them to do. But it turned out badly. And they lose their confidence in Yahweh. But the truth is, they never heard from Yahweh. They heard from their mind. Your mind talked to you long before you ever got saved. Am I right or wrong? You just walking along and your mind said something to you. And you just said, and you talk back sometimes. You say, Because you can't skip over the basic of anything and think you can accomplish the harder aspects of what you're dealing with. You can't skip over arithmetic and then do calculus. And some people have not done well and did not pay attention, and then they got into the higher math, like me. I thought I could do it. So I just sailed along in algebra. And then we came to, what was it, geometry. And I knew immediately that I'd missed something. I had skipped over something. And so it made it very difficult for me to accomplish a great grade in algebra, even though I did fairly decent, because I didn't know some of the basic things that we should know. And in the church, we are hollering and dancing and screaming all over California and the world today. We are hearing messages all over the world today. And yet, with the attitudes that we have today and the environment that we have begun to assimilate, it's not possible to be led in the spirit of Yahweh. So I was concerned. And you all don't mind taking some time today, do you? I was concerned. And so I'm trying to find out what are you saying to me. I know it's necessary for us to be led in the spirit of Yahweh. I know there's no way for us to be successful believers without being led in the spirit of God. I know that. And so I was concerned, not just for you, but for me. I want to know what is it that we are skipping over and then trying to accomplish the greater things in God. What is that? And he took me to Tehillim 116th division of Tehillim. And he took me to the 12th verse. And here's what the 12th verse, here's how it reads. What shall I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? David is expressing a basic attitude that every believer should have. And that's the attitude of appreciation and thanksgiving for what Yahweh has done. How can one be led in the spirit of Yahweh when they don't have the correct attitude even to serve Yahweh? He expressed an attitude that is rarely found in the world and scarcely found in the church. Because the church have begun to assimilate the concepts of the world. I'll say it again. The church has begun to assimilate the concepts of the world. They have begun to allow their values and their morals to be decreased or to wane away as they assimilate or take in the things of the world. It's not uncommon for God's people to begin to assimilate the things of the world. It's not uncommon for God's people to be affected by the world. And just to give you an example, let's look at 2 Kefa. 2 Kefa 2, and we will come back because we haven't even gotten started. 2 Kefa 2. I want to make a point before I get started into this scripture. The values of the world, no matter what they are not our values. The Bible said we are in the world, but we are not of the world. The Bible said we are in the kingdom of Yahweh. And in his kingdom, there are kingdom laws to be followed. We will follow the laws of the world until they conflict with kingdom laws. And when they conflict with kingdom laws, we will not obey the laws of those laws of the world. And if you don't go along with the world, they will make you out to be some kind of kook. But the reality is we are kooks in the world. Amen. Because we do not line up with the things that the world wants us to line up with. We are odd. We're different. We're despised sometimes because of what we believe. The world will not have a legitimate conversation about anything. The world wants us, and I'm talking about the ideas and the values, the world wants us to accept what they say as fact. I was listening the other day, and they were talking about creation. And they were making fun of church folks who believe that Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. And they say they disregard the Big Bang theory. Well, simply by saying they disregard the Big Bang theory, you have already said that is not a fact. Because you said it was a theory. And a theory is not a fact. You see, we won't have a decent conversation. Say that, yeah, that is a theory. But just that, that's just one of many theories. And then if we take it like that, then we can investigate the theories and come up with what is more factual about these things. They want us to believe in evolution. Evolution is a theory. Now, I'm not talking about some of these conservative right-wing so-called Christians out there that believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old. I don't believe that, and I never believed that. The earth is millions of years old. Man has spent a short time on the planet, but This planet is old. And when we get up and argue those kind of ridiculous points, whether the earth is 6,000 years old, and we say we argued it because we are Christian, that is simply insane and ignorant. Nowhere in the Bible do it tell us that the world is 6,000 years old. Amen. That was the world before the world. The Bible said, in the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Period. And then the next verse said, and the earth was void, without form. Well, the scripture says in Yeshayahu that Yahweh never created the world void. It says he created it to be inhabited. So when the spirit of Yahweh moved up on the darkness of that deep, and there was no light, and Yahweh said, let there be light, the world was in the water. But he didn't create it in the water. Y'all don't want to talk about this, do you? Amen. What was on the earth before the catastrophe that set this thing into chaos? We don't know. We don't know. Egypt, Mizraim, is more than 6,000 years old. Amen. The Hebrew are older than 6,000 years. So I'm not talking about that foolish argument. But I would like to have a discussion on evolution, because it's a theory. I would like to have a discussion on creation, because this is a theory. An explosion has never created order. Never. Nowhere in history has an explosion created order. An explosion creates chaos. Well, I was supposed to talk. But I said that to say that the world wants us to accept what they say, opposed to what the Bible teaches. But I wanted to make sure that you all did not think that the Bible teaches that this earth is 6,000 years old. Because you just make a kind of foolish person out of yourself if you kind of got that argument. People can rip it to shreds. And then you say you make it because you're a Christian, or they say they make it because they're a Christian. That's opposed to the word of Yahweh. It is not sound. It is ignorant. And I think we had a debate on TV, two people debating creation, and one supposed to be Christian debating. He's supposed to be a high-powered conservative Christian debating that the world is 6,000 years. No, I'm not a very smart man, considering all the rest of the smart people in the world. But even I know that the world is more than 6,000 years old, and I wouldn't get up and try to make that silly argument. Amen. But it is not unusual, as I said before, for us to be affected by the thoughts and the things of the world. And I'm going to read to you with Second Kepha, the second chapter of Kepha, the sixth verse. Turning, y'all see that? Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after shall live ungodly. You say, what's that got to do with the people of Yahweh being influenced by the things of the world? Well, that was just one of the verses above the verse that I'm going to show you. But this talks about judgment upon a people that had gone too far. There is judgment when people go too far. The first judgment was upon the world when the descendants of Adam and Eve went too far. And a flood came and took them all away. Here is talking about two cities that went too far. And they had to be made an example of so that the other folks that live in the world after them would not think that what they were doing was correct. They turned it into ashes. Watch. And delivered just Lot. It's not saying just Lot. It's talking about righteous Lot. A child of God. And delivered just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The word vexed in the Hebrew is kazar. And kazar means to cut down. But kazar means to weaken. Kazar means to wear down. While he lived among the wicked and saw all that they did, his righteous soul began to wear down. And he began to assimilate some of the things of Sodom and Gomorrah. He might not have done them himself, but he began to think that maybe this is okay, and I can dwell among them, and I can live with them, and I won't have to condemn them. He didn't know that his righteous soul was being worn away. God had to get down there and deliver him before it was too late. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. When you live in a society that is corrupt, it is not unusual for you to begin to assimilate the things of that society. Slowly but surely, your soul begins to buy in to their concepts. We're living in a greedy age. We're living in an age where there is no compassion for nobody. And then we're living in an age that feels like, what's in it for me? If there's not anything in it for me, I'll opt out. An age getting over. Now that's an old saying. Maybe you young people got a better saying. But getting over means getting things that you didn't work for and you didn't buy. When I first heard that word, I was at a family reunion. And we had gone out to dinner, and we was all supposed to pay for our own dinner. And I don't care what year it is. And there were several that began to argue, let's just split the bill equally. Because some of them were drinking alcohol and, you know, and then running the bill up. They wanted to split it equally. And so we said, no. And so one of the husbands said, no, baby, we'll just pay for our own. She said, if we do that, we won't get over. She said that. We won't get something out of this for us that we didn't pay for. Now, I am not talking about these right-wing conservative Christians who quote scripture that they don't understand. If they don't work, don't let them eat. I'm not talking about that. Because they're misquoting scripture in the first place. They take that scripture and they want to throw it on anybody who is working and not working. And that scripture is found in 2 Thessalonians. And I think we should know these things. You hear these people, every time I talk, they're getting up. And they standing up behind photos. And they said, but the scripture said, if they don't work, don't let them eat. And they apply this to little children. They apply this to women. They apply this to the disabled. And so I thought, wait a minute. We need to understand what that scripture actually said. So let's just turn there. I think I got enough time. And I'm confident that if I don't, you all will give me some more. Well, I'm partly confident. 2 Thessalonians. Three. 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither shall he eat. Well, I translated that scripture from the Hebrew, and here's what it says. For also in our living with you, commanded you to say, if a man is unwilling or refuses to work in labor, also eating he will not. That's a little different. They applied this to people who were unemployed. But the whole idea of this scripture is you bought him a job and you placed it before him and he was unwilling and refused to take the job. It's not talking about people who are looking for work. And the word used here with man is ish. Ish is a male, not a woman. So it's not talking about women with dependent children. It's talking about a lazy man who you have a job for him and he's unwilling and refused to take it. But these are people who are trying to get over. I mean, these people that's talking. Because getting over is not relegated to poor folks. If you watch the news, you would have seen one of the head men of Microsoft. He got up last week and he said to the employees, because of Obamacare and because of the blue babies, they're talking about premies that his employees had every now and then, we have to cut your benefits. Well, one of the ladies had just had a preemie about a year or so ago, and she was very upset. So she worked for the company, so she went to the company. And he came back and rescinded everything that he did. You know why? Because they wasn't losing anything based on Obamacare. They wasn't losing anything based on premise. But he used that to get over. He want to make more money. Not make additional money. He wanted to make more money than he was making, even though his expenses had not gone up. But he blamed it on that. That's getting over. Hallelujah. So if a man refuses a job, don't let him eat. But with the greed and injustice of this society, these so-called believers are using the word of Yahweh to hurt people and to take bread out of children's mouths, to take clothes off their back, to take away their housing based on what they say God said. And it's all a big lie. I agree. If I bought you a job and told you you could start tomorrow and you refuse it, then I ain't gonna give you nothing else. But you out there looking for a job. You can't find a job. Jobs are hard to come by. You are not unwilling to work. You're willing to work. It's not talking about you. It's not talking about those who own unemployment, who've been looking for jobs and putting in resumes everywhere. It's not talking about the mama who's on, who has dependent children. It's not talking about the disabled. But they cover, they just throw it as a blanket on everybody who is receiving anything from the government. That thinking is adverse to Christianity, and is devilish. How did I get there? Well, we better go on. But it's not unusual that we would begin to buy in to this selfish concept of this world. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. Head I win, and tail I win. Everything for me and nothing for you. That's not unusual either. For people just simply to be interested just in themselves. And what they can have. Look, if you would, with me to Philippians. Look, I'll tell you the truth. And I'm not trying to be funny. But if you'll listen to me, you'll learn something. Amen. I didn't get here yesterday. And I didn't start preaching last week. And I didn't start serving Yahweh day for last. And I didn't start reading the Bible last month. And I didn't start studying 2 months ago. If you listen, you'll learn something. Because too many of us buying in to the world. Amen. Look, people, there's male and female. There ain't no in between. Now, I say on Facebook, on Facebook, I say they got about five or six other different intermediary sexual being. But there's only woman and man. No matter how you cut it, there's only woman and man. If two men get married, there's simply two men getting married. Nothing in between. If two women get married, it's two women getting married. Nothing in between. Amen. Amen. And Yahweh said there was supposed to be one woman and one man. Now, I don't want to get deep into this because I don't mind it causing a problem. I don't want to cause a problem for Pastor Tom, but for me and my house? There's only male and female. And a male really is not supposed to marry a male. Because there ain't nothing legitimate two males can do. Now, I'm just saying. Amen. Look, we are not of the world, so we don't have to buy in to the things of the world. The world can do what they want to. Do what you want to, world. Marry who you want to. But don't come here telling the church. We are not of you. We are the kingdom people. You leave us alone. And we'll leave you alone. We're not going to go out there demonstrating. No. We leave you alone. You do what you want to do. But if you want to come over here, you got to stop that. We won't turn you away as long as you are willing to stop that. Amen. I didn't intend to say that. But God needs somebody to say something. Somebody got to say something. You know what I mean? They have cowered the church down. You bet not say that it's not legitimate for two men. You better not say homosexuality is not legitimate. You better shut your mouth. Man, leave us alone. We're not out there bothering you. We're not coming out there demonstrating against you. We're not running around saying, you better not do that. We don't care what you do. But don't try to do it over here. It's going to make us buy in. No, we ain't buying it. Now, the second chapter of Philippians, the 21st verse, for all, now that's 20th verse, for I have no man like-minded. This is Shaul talking. Folks have got them to their own thing. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Yeshua, Mashiach. They had begun to buy it, begun to seek their own. He said of Demas, Shaul said, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So it's not unusual. And certainly the time that we live in is not unusual. Now, Yeshua spoke about this time. Look at Netanyahu 24. And we'll start at the 10th verse. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I was listening to the radio the other day. I'm not sure if it was a Christian radio. I think it was maybe a Christian program by time on this radio station. And they had a fellow on there named Carlton Pearson. And he is denying that there's a hell. See, if you get rid of hell, you got rid of all of the penalties. So do your own thing, you know what I mean? Go on and do what you want to do, and you can still be in the church because there ain't no penalty. Why in the world would I stand over here all day Sunday and sing and preach if there ain't nothing going on? If there's no penalty, there's no sin, what are we doing here? If there was no hell and there was no penalty, that means there's no heaven. If I thought that, I'd take all these benches out and make this a dance hall. And you had to pay to get in. Amen. Come on. We are here because we know that God has, Yahweh has blessed us. Hallelujah. And we had better begin to appreciate what he has done and be thankful for what he has done for us. Now listen to Yeshua. 12th verse. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many. You won't be able to get them out to Bible study because they got something else to do. They don't have that same fire. Huh? You can't get them out to prayer anymore because they don't have that same fire. The love has. Hallelujah. You ever had a woman that you love, and all of a sudden she wasn't interested in you coming over? You know? And now you mad. You're gonna go break down the door. But remember, the love just waxed and cold. Ain't nothing you can do. You can't do nothing. You can knock down the door, break out the windows, beat her down. And still the love has waxed cold. Come on, man. Ain't no sense in acting up. It ain't there no more. And I don't want to blame it on women because sometimes it's men, too. Calling, ain't you coming by tonight? No, I got something else I got. But you ain't been by in a month. I know, but you know what I mean. You just got to bear with me. You got to bear with me. Now I'm going through something. Yeah, you're going through something. I like the love. That's why it's called. So that's what happened. Aren't you going to church tonight? No. I got something to do. I got some clothes to wash. Aren't you going to come to prayer? No. I promised Sadie Mae that I would have coffee with her tonight. And I always keep my promise. We call them on the phone. I haven't seen you. Yeah, I know, I know. I'll get back with you. Ain't no sense in worrying about the love as what? Christ called. You can go to your house all you want to and want to talk to them and try to get them to start coming. It ain't going to help. The love is cold. And unless they have a refurbishing of the love, nothing you can do about it. Amen. I've been there, done that. 13th verse. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Then in the midst of all this, David's prophecy comes to mind. Tehillim 116. What shall I render? This word render is shuv in the Hebrew. And the word means return. What shall I return unto Yahweh? Not what I can get from Yahweh. Because all of the, most of the people in here want something from God. You want a house, you want a car, you want a better job, you want money, and you always want it, and you're always asking. You're on the altar praying for something you want. But David has what he wants. He has salvation. Praying for what we want. We want this, we want that. But when the offering bucket goes around, I wonder, do we say, what shall I render unto Yahweh? We don't even think about that. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? David has this concept, this wonderful godly concept, that God has done something for me, and I want to do something for him. And I'm sitting here thinking, not what can I get, but what can I give him? For all of his benefits that he has rendered to me. Look at your name, What can I return to Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? That's the concept. That's the godly concept. You'll never be able to be led in the spirit of Yahweh until you come to a place where you are appreciative and thankful for what God has done for you. How did David know this and nobody else? 103. He knows it and you know it, but you don't want to admit it. Come on. Let's go to Tehillim 103:1. And here's David. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy. This is still David, because he understands some things. So he says, bless Yahweh, my soul. And all, see, when you say all within him, in me, the actual word there is kerer. For everything within my innermost being is blessing his holy name. With my mind, bless Yahweh, all my soul. But with all of my innermost being, I'm blessing his holy name.
Bless Jehovah. Oh, my soul. And forget not all. You remember what he said over in the 116th chapter? And watch this. Who forgiveth all my iniquities, or really all my sins. Sometimes we don't appreciate the filthiness of our sins that was forgiven. He forgave all my sins. Oh, glory to Yahweh. God knows. Yahweh knows. Yahweh knows where I come from. Yahweh knows what I have done. But he forgave all of my sins. All of my sin. See, sometimes we don't even have a concept of our sin. He forgave all of my sin. He took all of the dirtiness off of me and laid it on Yeshua. If you've been what I've been, if you've been where I've been, you've done some terrible things. He forgave all. See, David appreciated what the sin. The burdens of the sin. Who forgiveth all thine sin. Who healeth all of thy iniquities, of my iniquity. All of mine. Who healeth all of my diseases. All of. See, some diseases you didn't know you had. But he healed them. You were walking around thinking everything was okey-dokey, and you had some horrible thing working in your body, and Yahweh healed it. David understood that. David understood that. See, we don't know what's going on in these bodies. But because we were serving him, because we came to him, because we are thankful unto him, because we appreciate what he has done, he's healing our disease. Fourth verse, who redeemed thy life from destruction. We were on our way to hell. And well, look, when the Bible talks about destruction, it's talking about decay. It's talking about worms eating the body. It's talking about no hope of redemption, no hope of change, eternal punishment. But he redeemed me from destruction. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan had me bound. But Yeshua lifted me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was on my way to hell. But Yeshua lifted me. He saved my soul from destruction. See, we sit around and so cavalierly think about salvation. Oh, yeah, I'm in the church. Without realizing, without appreciating what Yahweh has done. He redeemed my life from destruction, who crowneth me thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Whoa. He surrounds me with his compassion, his mercy, his grace surrounds me. When you say he crowned me, surrounded me with his mercy, with his grace, with his love, he surrounds me. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. See, that's why the scripture says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's an order. That's a commandment. If you're going to come in here, come in with thanksgiving.
Come on now.
And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. With this cavalier attitude. Yeah, you know, yeah, I'm saved, yeah. I take a little nip every now and then, yeah, but I'm saved. I go to the nightclub every now and then. I don't go too much. I commit fornication sometimes, but I try to hold it to a certain level. But I'm saved. You see, his love overcomes everything. That's what they say. But he surrounds me. Because I appreciate what he's done. He surrounds me with his love and with his mercy and with his grace. Hallelujah. You might walk out there and there's supposed to be a car coming down the street that's going to smash you to pieces. But his grace and his mercy and his love. You know, I tell the story about how my whole family was in danger and I'm driving along down Gage and hear this big old car coming. And when I entered this, it was green for me. But when I entered the intersection, I looked to my right because I heard these brakes screeching. And all I could see is this car coming. I knew it was doomsday for us. Me, my wife, and all my kids. My wife just started screaming. Jesus, Jesus. But look, let me tell you something. We used to name Yeshua, but when you didn't know no better, that's all you had. That's all you had. And I knew there was no way, there was no way in the world that car, because the car was in the intersection, we was in the intersection. Just no way that car could miss me. So I just saw, you know how things flash? You'd be surprised how many things flash by you in a moment of time. And I just had resigned myself, well, here I come, Lord. Because he's coming, he's on my driver's side. And it's like something caught that car by the bumper and threw it out of the way. Just threw it out of the way. And that car went, whoom! Because he surrounds us with his love and with his mercy and with his compassion. Magnify Yahweh with me. Help me bless his holy name. Thank you. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Or the Hebrew would say, so that you renew your youth as an eagle. An eagle doesn't depend on somebody else to renew his youth. So that's what the Bible's got to say. You don't have to depend on nobody else to renew your youth. Because of the good stuff that's in your mouth, you can renew your youth like an eagle. See, the old eagle just come down and sit on a rock and just pluck out all the bad stuff. You need to start plucking out the bad stuff today. Once he finished plucking out all the bad stuff, the good stuff can come in. And now he can fly like he could when he was a year old, even though now he's 10. I appreciate that. I'm thankful. You cannot bring yourself to a position to be led in the Spirit until you have the proper attitude about your salvation. I'm so glad he saved me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. Every day, I thank him. Every day. I appreciate him. When I'm walking in my house, I say, God, I thank you. Oh, you've been good to me. Hallelujah. You've been good to me. I praise your name. You've been good to me. This is what Yahweh said, the church needs to come to an understanding that you did not get here without a sacrifice from Yahweh. He made the sacrifice. He gave his only son. I'm not interested in what Yahweh can do for me. I'm interested in what I can do for him. Bow your heads. You may be here today and you don't know Yahweh in the way that I talk about today. But one thing I do know,